Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
It's time to talk football, everybody. John Clayton with us every day at 4 o'clock with Wyman and Bob. Wyman out today. Mike Lefko sitting in for the remainder of the show as we continue live from T-Mobile Park. If you guys have questions for John, you know the drill. Text in your questions right now to 710-710. We'll try to get to your questions before we let John go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys. And Mike, good to hear you behind with Bob. That's great.
Yeah, thanks. I moved down to the front row. Got a good view here at the Mariners. Excited to be on with you.
Great.
Hey, I want to play a cut from Mike Florio, one of your favorites. I want to play it for you and get your response to what he said. Here it is.
I don't know when this became an acceptable trend in the NFL. Well, I know when it's not acceptable in my view. Don't ask me. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I know this. If I'm going to give up multiple first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil or for Jalen Ramsey or for Jamal Adams, I'm trying not to curse here. You bet your ass I'm good. I get that. That's acceptable. You bet your ass I'm getting him signed to a new contract on the way through the door. What the hell are these people thinking? What was Bill O'Brien thinking? What was Les Snead and Sean McVay thinking? What were John Schneider and Pete Carroll thinking? You're going to do this trade and not get him signed? You give him all the power, all the leverage.
What do you think, John?
Again, missing the point. It's like Laremy Tunsil did get a deal, right? I mean, he got a contract extension. In the case of Jamal Adams, I know Pete Carroll was saying yesterday, and there's optimism they could get something done. I know John Schneider said that they have him in the budget, so it's like that's encouraging. And so it's a difference now of like, okay, you'll probably pay him $16 million. Can he take that or not take it? It's just that, like anything else, Mike's right in saying that, you know, Jamal has some leverage in all this stuff, but, you know, the players don't think he's going to hold out. Quandre Diggs don't think he's going to hold out. Just take the $16 million. And you make a few adjustments, like, for example, if he's worried about the average, you take money away from the guarantees. If if he wants more of a higher average just for ego's sake, then you backload the contract. So I think this thing gets done. So it's like they traded two first round picks for him and they'll get him done.
Well, I think his point is, why didn't they do it upon trading for him? Like, okay, we're making the trade, we're going to sign him to an extension right here. And I said, John, that everybody's salary cap situation at the times of these trades are different. They're unique. And they have somebody like Jamal Adams on his rookie deal, which is much more favorable. So they could field, you know, different players, spend on other players around him, understanding, yeah, we will sign him to an extension. It just doesn't need to happen right this minute, the day we made the trade.
No, and I think also, I mean, he was comfortable coming here and playing for the salary, knowing he was going to have the option year next year. But then what will end up happening is that, you know, he would still be on his rookie contract. And so you're going to eat up so much cap room, giving him, you know, a big deal then. And, of course, at that point, I mean, you still know the way the market was. I mean, at that point, Eddie Jackson of Chicago was making $14.5 million. The next deal ended up being $14.75 million. Then Justin Simmons came this year and was able to get $15.25 million. So it's like, you're only making a difference of $1 million, but you would eat up so much cap room giving a deal like that last year that you're just not going to do it.
Hey, John, we know Dwayne Brown now wants a new deal also. Can they work on these two contracts simultaneously with Jamal Adams and with Dwayne Brown? Or do they have to wait and see, well, whatever Adams is going to take, we have to kind of wait and see what we have left over for Dwayne Brown?
Yeah, no, I think they have to wait. I mean, right now they're sitting with about $8.6 million of cap room. And, I mean, they'll get, because, for example, in the Buda Baker deal, I think he got the $14.75 million, but they were able to get the cap number under $5 million. And now, of course, would be a $5 million saving. In the case of Dwayne Brown, because what I keep doing is looking at what they did with Andrew Whitworth with the Rams, and his numbers after he got the $11.25 million deal in 2017, the average kept coming down. And so it's like, I think that, in the next deal, which I think they can do after they do Adams, they might be able to get it like 9.5 or something like that, because what they can do is, put a little bit more money in the signing bonus. They can void, several years of the contract. Let's say it's going to be a 5-year contract, but they can void the final 3 years, get him for 2 years. So I think you need to get Adams done first, because remember, he's the young player and you got Dwayne Brown, who's the older player. But in the end, I think they'll take care of both.
Can that get frustrating though, for a guy like Brown, who kind of they tell him, hey, you might have to sit and wait around for a month or two? Or is that why it's important to have such a good relationship with front office and player, like it seems like the Seahawks do with their guys?
Yeah, it's important to have that kind of good relationship because, again, that's vital. And I think he has a good relationship with the team. But, you know, it's not like he was down there in Houston and hated, did not like the owner and wanted to get out and, of course, held out half the season. He actually came to the Seattle game as a Houston Texan, and the next thing you know, the next week he was ending up being traded. But I think you have to be patient because, again, the cap, it's not like last year where the cap went up $10 million. The cap went down to $18.25 million, 8% discount. And yet you notice there's not a lot of deals that are getting done. I mean, yeah, Michael Dixon was able to get his deal done, and, you know, I think they'll still get something done with Jamal Adams, but I think that he's smart enough to realize, you know, you just have to be patient.
710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line for your questions for the professor. So text those in right now. We'll get to some of your questions. This one, John, coming from the 425, says, Professor, what draft capital would it take to acquire Stephon Gilmore, and would it be possible to convince him to play the season without an extension, even if it meant waiving the franchise tag as we did when Clowney came over?
Yeah, I think it depends on how many teams are going to be on the bidding, you know, because you already know that Arizona is going to be in there because they had a shortage of cornerback, and so they may try to do something, and they may give him more money. But I think right now it could be a second-round pick. It's not going to be a first-round pick. But if you're Seattle, you don't have the first-round pick next year. But I still think you got to look at it, see if there's a way to get it in the third round and then pick another pick next year. But, if you do acquire him under the circumstances, I don't think you can give him more money. I mean, you have to have him play at the $7 million because, again, if you want to get a Jamal Adams deal, if you want to get something done with Dwayne Brown, I mean, then all of a sudden you start to run out of stuff. And also, you need to do something at the cornerback position to see, because, I mean, the only cornerback that's going to be signed after this year is going to be Trey Brown, the draft choice. And so you might want to take care of that. And you also might want to take care of Quandre Diggs. So, there's a lot more work to do. But if they go for Gilmore, which I still think they should consider, because then they'd have three Pro Bowlers in the secondary, one of the best secondaries in the league, then I think that, they probably have to let him play at $7 million and see what he's going to do and then get the big free agent money next year.
Hey, John, a couple of texters have asked this, and I was curious after hearing Pete say that Alden Smith, they didn't feel like he was in good enough shape to get on field work now. He has his arraignment coming up on July 14th. I don't know if that's going to have, you know, lasting legal implications as well, but is there concern that he might not be in game shape by training camp or even the season?
No, I mean, the fact that, he came in, because remember, it's like, you know, not everybody around the league is going to be in shape when you're opting out and doing all those different things. And remember, the players didn't start showing up. You know, the 50-some, 51 players that were boycotting or missing, they didn't start showing up till a week ago on Monday. And so because of that, I mean, you can see it's like maybe he hasn't done enough, but he's got enough time right now. He's got 5 weeks until the start of training camp. And, of course, if necessary, I mean, he can just kind of get going there. So, no, I think it's going to be fine. But also, I think in the meantime, they didn't want to risk putting him on the field, you know, knowing that, there still could be the possibility of a suspension depending on how that case goes. So, no, I think they're just being cautious with him, and there's no reason to rush him because, again, they have enough defensive ends right now that they could go and practice, and I think they wanted to see him because they wanted to see, you know, how Kerry Hyder looked. I think they wanted to see, you know, what was going on with Daryl Taylor. So, no, I think that there was no urgency to get him out there and practice if he wasn't in 100% great shape.
John, the 509 wants to know, have the Titans done enough to overtake the Chiefs in the AFC, and is there another team in the running? I'm pretty sure that came from Mike Lefko.
Yeah, no.
I don't have that area code. My although, question as well, though.
The bad part is, you know, I actually put in for an interview with John Robinson, the general manager of the Titans, and he was going to call me back today, but I had a hit in Denver that prevented that from happening. You know, it was too close to that hit because I had like 13 minutes notice, and so I'm supposed to hear from him tomorrow because I'm doing a big Washington Post story on the Tennessee Titans. But, you know, Mike is, I guess, a Tennessee fan?
Yes, he is.
All right, mm-hmm. So, I mean, and the big thing I'm going to go over with John is like, you've had such a turbulent off season. How did you get through it? And again, they came through great at the end getting Julio Jones. But remember, Jonnu Smith, they ended up losing to the New England Patriots. You know, Corey Davis ended up leaving. They lost three cornerbacks. I mean, because Malcolm Butler was let go. You know, they had to let Adoree Jackson go because he had a big 50-year option number. So they were down three cornerbacks, and they started to rebuild it. But, you know, they went through a lot. But I know offensively they're going to be better just because nobody's going to play eight in the box against, you know, Derrick Henry now. Because, again, they got three great receivers. Ryan Tannehill is still on his game. But I just worry about the defense. Is there enough on defense to, you know, get them closer? Because right now I think it's pretty close. I think they have a slight edge over the Indianapolis Colts, but I think they're both 11-win teams.
John, the Mariners announced they'll have full capacity by July 2nd. Is it pretty much a given now that the Seahawks will have a full stadium when the season starts?
Yeah.
And I think is every NFL stadium going to be full capacity?
Looks like it, yeah, because barring any setback, because a setback could cause a city to go ahead and say, okay, city or county, to say, no, we can't do this. Or a state could actually get involved in that too. But I think it's pretty safe to say because, again, you know, what we're looking at right now, even though it could go a couple days earlier, is that they're lifting every restriction on June 30th. And every restriction would include full stadiums and stuff of that nature. So, no, I think right now everything's on pace, and you see more and more teams making the announcement that they're going to have full stadiums. And so the only team that you worry about is going to be the Houston Texans because they're going to be so bad, nobody's buying tickets.
Speaking of the Texans, I saw a story about Deshaun Watson and the idea that he and his legal team were trying to settle these lawsuits, and then that Tony Busby character came out and said, in response to the many queries we've received about Deshaun Watson's case, I typically don't respond to individual blah blah blah. There will not be a settlement, at least anytime soon. I have my best people on the case, and that should tell you a lot about our intentions. Lawsuits are all about the work in the trenches, and my 17 lawyers under my supervision are doing the legal grunt work it takes to prepare the cases for trial and another win.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the problem right now. When you have more lawsuits than you have attorneys, that's not a good sign because of the 22 lawsuits that he has. And, you know, remember, nothing happens on this case unless there's a settlement, which is unlikely, until at least, I'd say next spring. Because
so,
you know,
what does that mean for him playing?
I think there's a growing chance that he's not going to play this year. Now, I don't know how they can do that with the exempt list and everything else, so that at least he doesn't have to forfeit all his money, because you know there's maybe some way to work that out. But yeah, it's a mess right now. It's one that I can't see any team trading for him with the uncertainty. Certainly, you know, there's more women owners right now taking over in family-run operations that they're not going to be highly endorsing somebody that has 22 lawsuits for sexual type issues like this. And so I think it's going to be tough. I mean, his only main option right now would be to go back to the Texans. And I think right now Houston's taking the point now. It's like, well, we say we're not going to trade him, but we'd like to trade him, but I don't think they can.
John, we know this time of year in the NFL calendar, very, very dangerous for owners and GMs. They sit there, nervous apprehension as all their players have some time off. Do any deals get done, though, during this time? Like, guys like K.J. Wright and Richard Sherman, is anything happening with them, or are they still kind of waiting until training camps start up?
There may be a couple, but the waiver wire is going to be really pretty void now because, you know, every team has completed their off-season program. You know, if you sign somebody now, it's like you're going to be sitting around for 5 weeks not being able to do anything. And so, and again, you know, it's been a long off season for everybody. And so everybody's going on vacation. I know calling around the league, I mean, you have a bunch of guys that either have started vacation or are going to go on vacation, and they go very soon. And, you know, most of the coaches are going to go on vacation. So I think that this really is the quiet period, but also it's the dangerous period. And the ones that feel the worst about it are the general managers, because they're the ones that have to take the phone call and say, oh, guess what, your guy just got arrested for this, and here's what's going on there. And you go, oh boy, what are we going to do?
Does the NFL talk, I know that they have the rookie symposium or the rookie conference to get them used to life in the NFL, do they talk to these guys about downtime and how dangerous that can be, or do they teach them what to really watch for now in this month coming up?
Yeah, I haven't seen if they're going to have the rookie symposium this year. I assume that they will because they've had it, you know, all but last year. You know, and it still might be the point where, you know, they'd like to have it in the latter part of June, and, you know, there may be not enough places open to be able to handle that. So, in the end, I think that usually what they do in the rookie symposium, they'll take some player that's had a lot of problems and they'll have him speak and tell you, it's like, here's my mistakes. Here's where I screwed up on this. You can't screw up on this. Here's what you got to do. And for whatever reason, even though they didn't have one last year, it seems to be working, because I know the number of arrests, the number of problems have really come down in the last 2 or 3 years. And so that's encouraging. But again, like anything else, you know, there's more open time right now. And of course, it's a little bit more dangerous just from the standpoint that more is open and you can go out and do some things. Now, the one thing that's going to limit some things is the new rules, including vaccinations, because all of a sudden, if you don't have a vaccination and you're caught at a party with a bunch of people that didn't have masks, you can be fined up to $50,000.
710-710 is the text line. Your questions for the professor, that's where you text those. The 206 saying, John, Trey Lance, his appearance, okay, has looked really good and has gobbled up the playbook. Could he start sooner rather than later if he keeps it up? And how did the connected media get this pick so wrong?
Because, you know, I guess, and me being one of them that was wrong, is that what ended up happening is that everybody went for the idea that Mac Jones would be more of the type that Kyle Shanahan wanted, because, one, he's smart, he's accurate, he knows what to do in down and distance situations. All those things are the positive. And then, of course, they had the workout where both guys were working out the same day, and they went to see Mac Jones, and then later went to see Trey Lance. But all along, it was Trey Lance, because I know I just did a big thing on the 49ers and talking to John Lynch about it, and that was the guy that they had targeted all along. Now, it's possible he could get in there a little bit earlier, but remember, their position right now is that they want to win. And, you know, as long as they can stay away from injuries, they've had a very good offseason in being able to get some cornerbacks back. You'll get Trent Williams back. You know, I'm still concerned for them for the injury standpoint, but I think that they feel at the moment, today, Jimmy Garoppolo gives them the best chance to win. So I think they go with Jimmy, but Trey is picking things up, and they love what he's been able to do, you know, because he's a smart guy. They love his personality. They know that he's got great talent. And I think the back thought on Kyle, on Lance, is that you know, he's a guy that's more mobile than any quarterback that Kyle Shanahan's worked with in the last several years. I mean, you have to go back to RG3 to find a mobile quarterback, and that didn't work out. But the mobility and his arm strength, and it could help. But also, too, he's only played 17 games. Last year, he only played one.
John, you see this about the Bears. They're looking at a site out in Arlington Heights, Arlington Racetrack. And I wrote down the quote. I don't know if you saw this, Bob. I wrote down the quote from Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, because I wanted to make sure I said it all right, because it's pretty funny. She said, "We want the organization to focus on putting a winning team on the field, beating the Packers, and finally being relevant past October. Everything else is noise." Have you ever seen a mayor kind of turn on a city team like that?
Not many. There's been some, but you know, I don't know if Rizzo in Philadelphia had some things bad to say about some of the franchises there. But it's rare to find that going that way, because you know, say what you want. I mean, I know they were pretty average, and they're an average team this year. But they were an 8-8 team that did go to the playoffs, even though they had Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. And so, you know, I still wonder if they're going to be that much better this year, because they lose two tackles. They had to cut Kyle Fuller. You know, at the moment, they're going to go with Andy Dalton as a starting quarterback. So it's like, good luck. And, you know, I think it's just trying to get some leverage to try to get some more things done at Soldier Field.
The 208 asking, say, boy, Professor, everyone is on the Daryl Taylor bandwagon. What do you think?
Well, I mean, all we can do is look at what we see on the practice field for the limited time we were out there, and also hear what Pete Carroll has to say. And when Pete Carroll comes out with the bold statement that Daryl was able to go to the rookie minicamp, all the OTAs in the minicamp, and he was the most prepared player of any Seahawk this offseason, I think that's encouraging. And so, I mean, he looks good. He is mobile. He can play strong side linebacker and defensive end and rush the passer. Now, Cody Barton's also had a great offseason and looks real good, so he's going to start. But I think you're going to see Daryl on the field.
John, we're talking about some unsigned free agents still, and I think I did a double take when I realized Todd Gurley still isn't on a team. Has there been any movement on him, or where do you see him maybe ending up?
A lot of people think that he's going to go to Detroit. I know that they just made a roster move today to open up a roster spot, and some people think it's going to go to Todd Gurley. But it's like, boy, if you're Todd Gurley and just coming off the Atlanta experience, do you really want to go to the second worst roster in football? I mean, I know you want a job. There's no question about it. Atlanta was bad last year, and you had to suffer through that. Do you really want to go to Detroit? But right now, if you don't have any options, that's where you might have to end up going.
So they've got the second worst roster in Detroit. Who's first?
Houston.
Houston.
Yeah, Houston's terrible.
Where do you put the Jets?
I'd say right now they would be probably fourth or fifth, because I put Jacksonville right up there in the number three hole, because, again, they don't have too much. You know, the Jets still have that problem that, last year on the 53-man roster, the only Pro Bowl player they had was Frank Gore, who, he's like 85 years old, and so that didn't work out too well. And then what you're looking at is that this year they do get C.J. Mosley back. I think they've had a good free agency. I think they've had a good draft. It's a good offseason, so they'll be better, but it's still going to take them a couple years to turn this thing around.
Gore still moves pretty well for an octogenarian, though, doesn't
he? Yeah.
John, you doing your show tomorrow?
Yes, indeed. From 8 to 11, taking your phone calls.
Taking phone calls with John. All right. Have a great weekend, John. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, just download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, he is the one, the only, Adam Ray, comedian, actor, in town doing shows this week. We'll talk to him about all of it next on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Dave Sims, voice of your Seattle Mariners, will join us on the program as we continue live from T-Mobile Park. And it is always a pleasure to bring to the program this man. You know him, you love him. Seattle's own superstar in the making, in town to do some work at Laughs Comedy Club. The one, the only, Adam Ray is with us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. What's going on, man?
Dude, I love you. And by the way, let's just be clear about one thing, Bobby. I only do shows that are sponsored by Pest Control.
Perfect.
Well, this worked out perfectly.
It did. It really did.
Man.
Hey, so you're back in town. This is your hometown for anybody that wasn't aware of that fact. But you're back in town. You've got some shows coming up at Laughs Comedy Club this weekend, tonight and tomorrow night. Are there still tickets available?
I think they're still doing some limited caps, but I think we can squeeze about 90 vaxxed and waxed people of all shapes and sizes. Because we know, Bobby, everyone except for you packed on some quarantine pounds, but you somehow got stronger, you freak of nature. I don't know, are you just bench pressing people and snacking on low-carb Pop-Tarts before you go to bed, or... I don't know if it's the gummies, but either way, come to the show. Bring your Dave Wyman fanny pack. I think, they're almost sold out. So there's probably, 10, 20 tickets left for the weekend. Maybe 30.
Yeah.
Who knows? Quitting comedy after this weekend.
Yeah, this is it. This is the farewell show. No, in all seriousness, I've seen Adam a number of times, and he crushes. He just eviscerated Dane Cook at the Paramount. It was glorious. But I've got Dave Wyman is out today. He's on vacation. Our producer Mike Lefko is here with us. So this is the voice you're hearing now.
Well, I was going to say,
amazing.
Who's sending all the mean texts then if you're busy getting ready for your show?
Oh, Lefko, are you the one that usually receives my 213 verbal assault?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking forward to that, but now I have no one to crack me up. So you might want to send a couple in before you go. But if you want to think of one, but by the time this segment's over, go for it.
I will. Well, first of all, I think we should all acknowledge the fact that Wyman, vacation is a really loose decoy. Let's all be honest. His OnlyFans blew up, and he's making a career change, and he didn't want to come forward with that. So he was like, yeah, I'm on vacation in Barbados. Does that sound like a real story? All right, let's go with that. Yeah. By the way, OnlyFans definitely was the the probably the first entrepreneurial opportunity that that you know made me look in the mirror and be like, you know, could I get $40 for my hairy Jew calves? Or but also, like, you know, not everyone I'm realizing knows what OnlyFans is. I asked this guy in Arizona. I was doing shows there a few weeks ago, and I was like, "Sir, what would you put on OnlyFans?" And he was like, "Probably my Dallas Cowboys jersey." And I was like, "I don't think we're on the same page right now, sir. It's a site for perverts. You got to like pee on it or something." He's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I didn't know." Yeah. But anyway, it's this. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what has the touring been like? I mean, you know, the country's starting to open up. I know you've been out on the road quite a bit. So what, is it been pretty much limited capacity everywhere, or is it just unique to each city and state? Some it's totally open, and others it's you know, sitting there with a lot of restrictions.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, Bobby. Some places have been, you know, taking it slow. You know, like in seventh grade, when you're like, all right, like, I haven't really been with anyone intimately yet, so I'm not going to just, like, start grabbing things. That's kind of like what Seattle's been doing. But then there's states like Florida that are just like, hey, you know, the butt is first base. And so, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, some places really want to just go for it, and some are trying to observe protocols, but most states are at least wanting to make an attempt. And you know, you'll see, like, in Minnesota, it'll be pretty chill, and then you'll go to, like, you know, Nashville, and you'll see a guy wearing a shirt that says, you know, screw your feelings, and you're like, you're already not wearing a mask, dude. I think the shirt's pretty redundant. But you know, either way, like, people are coming out to the shows, which is awesome, because there's definitely a sense of, you know, we miss live entertainment. Zoom shows, you know, only get you so far. And you know, even seeing, like, movies, it's like, you know, like when the Jungle Cruise movie with The Rock comes out, I'm definitely gonna go see that live in the flesh. And I got a plus one left. Go up your if you're not attending one of, you know, Tony Robbins seminars on how to, you know, get those pecs, you know, into Wyman shape or whatever you do on Tuesdays.
How to bulk up like Bob and Wyman. Yeah.
How to bulk up like Bob and Wyman.
How to bulk up like Bob. To, yeah, I'll stop it like that.
And how to dress like a retired softball coach by Mike Salt.
Well, Adam, when's the last time you've done a show back here in Seattle? How excited are you to be back here?
Oh, dude, another great question. You guys are just the Katie Couric and Al Roker of our generation. This is probably, I think, Bobby was at the last show I think I did in Seattle, which was at the Paramount with Dane Cook. That was maybe a year before, no, the fall before COVID, maybe. And so, yeah, I was pumped that this, you know, I did the Tacoma Comedy Club, but that's not Seattle proper. And this is actually close to where I grew up in Shoreline, Lake Forest Park. And actually, Last Comedy Club used to be Giggles, right? Which was the first club I ever did stand-up in. The first open mic I ever did was at Giggles, and then it turned into Jiggles, the nightclub with dancing gals, and they didn't even have to change the marquee, true story. And then it went back to Giggles, and then now it's Last Comedy Club. And I remember the first joke, actually, I ever told. I was thinking about this. My mom was like, "This got to be so sentimental. You're going back to where you started, where it all started, before you just became this filthy monster and said all sorts of words I don't approve of." But the first joke I think I ever told was about going to the gym, you know, and being at some of these public gyms. Like, when I was in high school, and I go to 24-Hour Fitness over in Lake Forest Park on Ballinger Way, I would be in the, you know, the locker room. And it was my first experience being, you know, exposed, which is a play on words, what this story is about, to the lower halves of strangers, specifically gentlemen between the ages of 68 and 94. And I'm just like, I see these just open packages that were not dropped off by UPS. And I'm just like, these are things I didn't think I'd ever see. And the joke was basically how I'd see this, and then I'd go out and have, like, the workout of my life. So then I was like conditioned to thinking I needed to see that before I went to work out. So I'd come into the locker room and be like, "Hey fellas, spread them open. I got 25 minutes to beat my my power squat best."
Hey, as far as anything else,
or do we need? Bob, is this usable, or do we need to cut to an interview with John Allroot?
we're gonna hit the dumb button and just connect here in a moment. I just want to remind people,
your soundbite.
You can go to laughscomedyclub.com/event/comedian. Get tickets if tickets are remaining. Adam Ray there tonight and tomorrow night. I'll be out there tomorrow night. Quickly, I just want to say congratulations. Your show, Young Rock, on NBC got picked up for another season, which is huge for you. You and Rock are basically best friends now. You sent me a video of you guys doing a little bit with his cutout. I mean, you guys are having sleepovers. It's really cool to see the friendship that's formed between you two.
Yeah, it's really turning into a regular sisterhood of the Yaya traveling pants, and we're looking to bring some another person into the gang. So Lefko, if you play your cards right, but it's awesome to be on that show because it's such a crazy story. And when I went down to visit him while he was filming Black Adam, he just shared some insane stories that hopefully will end up in the storyline this year that have to do with him and his dad and Vince McMahon, who I'm playing. And so I joke about the Bob Stelton workout regime, but it is I'd say after I do shows this weekend and go to Vegas next weekend, then I'll probably truly buckle down and try to look like Brock Heward from 96. I don't know. Somebody that just, because Stelton now is like, you're almost too big, Bob. It's like, you're the guy that you walk into the gym and you're like, dude, you're done. You did it. Go home.
It's over. It's enough. It's enough.
It's enough. You lifted all the weights.
Yeah. You've lifted all the weights. They've been lifted. One more plug here. I got to tell people because I tell you, I text you this all the time. Late at night, I'll be hanging out.
Yeah.
And I listen to this record over and over. And it's your latest release. I'll Take It From Here, the crowd work album. Check that out if you're streaming. Yeah. If you haven't heard it, just check it out. I guarantee you will be laughing your backside off. It's really, really, really good stuff. Adam, we love you, man. I will see you tomorrow night. Great to have you on, and
I look forward
to you.
Great talking to you, Adam.
Dude, Lefko, pleasure to meet you, man, and chat with you. Bob, you're the best in the biz. This Bob and Wyman is the best show on planet Earth. Everyone tune in. I love you. I'll see you soon. Bye, guys.
Appreciate you, man. There you go. Adam Ray, the star of stage and screen and one of the best stand. He actually did. I went to see him. He opened up for Dane Cook at the Paramount and just destroyed him. It was so good. All right. Our thanks to Adam Ray. This happy hour is brought to you by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Coming up, is there a front office versus players split on the pitching substance issue? We'll get into that when we sweep the dial. Coming up, it's Wyman and Bob with Mike Lefko in for Wyman on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
All right, Bob, I want to give you a little backstory here, or ask you about this before we get into the cut. Do you remember Tim Tebow at a scouting combine? And yeah, Tim Tebow, our favorite guy. Mm-hmm. He was asked about his meeting with the Broncos, and he said he was just so excited. He goes, it was ball, and it was juice when he's talking to Josh McDaniels.
Vaguely.
So I don't know why, but this quote from Pete Carroll gave me it was ball and it was juice vibes when he's talking about Shane Waldron and Russ.
Yeah, the conversation between Shane and Russ would just continue to improve, but there's already a chemistry brewing here. They're already working together really well. It's kind of like Shane had a way to kind of have Russ kind of grow up in the system and started a while back, and it's just come together really well.
I just got that they're two like mad scientists, right? Like scheming together.
I was waiting for some cool terminology.
No, there was nothing as good. Yeah.
Ball, juice, whatever. I didn't hear any of that.
Well, I envisioned more Pete, how he probably looked when he was saying that, and like all excited and he's talking about it. And then Russ getting excited to work with Shane. And I kind of just jumped ahead a little bit. But yeah, so they have good conversation happening. And I think it seems like it's going to be a good partnership here.
I certainly hope so. I hope it's a great partnership. I hope they're excited to work together, because if they're not, at this point, that's a big problem. So, yeah, I'm with you. I was just hoping for some cool Pete lingo in there.
Yeah, that's on me. All right. I will take the blame for that one. That's on me. But just the fact that, you know, sometimes as a player, there's a little freezing out process, right? A thawing to get used to a new offensive coordinator. But it sounds like these two just from day one have been on the same page.
They're best friends.
They are best friends.
Sweeping the dial.
This is kind of interesting. Jerry DePoto yesterday, when he was on with Danny and Gallant, and we've had multiple sides of this MLB crackdown. We've heard from players who have been frustrated with the substance issue. We've heard from some people around baseball, but Jerry DePoto coming out saying, you know, we agree something had to be done about this.
But what we're dealing with now is significantly different than that. And, you know, that's why I think the league had to step up and do something about it. And we're supportive of that, frankly. Playing field has to be leveled. You know, we're watching the game change over these last couple of years. And it's fairly evident that this has been a strong contributor to that.
Yeah, he's not wrong. It is different. It has had a different impact. I don't think anybody's really debating that. I think anybody's gripe seems to be about the timing more than, what do you mean we can't use it? We should be allowed to use it. I haven't heard that one yet, but I've just heard more of gripe about the timing of it and people like Trevor Bauer and, like, why didn't you handle it in the offseason? This isn't something new. You've known about, according to Bauer, you've swept it under the rug for years, and you want to address it now because of there's been some negative public backlash.
Do you think that some players, though, could come out and be a little frustrated that it's a complete, total crackdown instead of what we heard maybe, from Garrett Cole or some other guys? Allow them some mix, the things that they're normally used to, the sunscreen, the rosin, instead of just completely taking everything away.
Why would you allow some cheating? We're going to let you cheat a little bit. We're going to let you cheat for a little while longer and taper it off. I mean, you got a rosin bag back there. That's what that's for. You know, maybe it's not good enough and maybe it doesn't provide everything they need, but that's what that is there for. And you better make do. Everybody's going to be on the same level. Everybody will have the same hurdle to deal with.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, this was kind of funny, and the timing of it, because it's from a play in 2009. Antrell Roll was on a podcast with former Cardinal Patrick Peterson. Antrell Roll was on the Super Bowl team that lost to the Steelers, and he told Patrick Peterson that he seriously considered tripping James Harrison during that interception down the sideline at the end of the first half.
I was honestly in shock. It felt like my body went numb, because I'm like, damn, you know, did I speak this into existence? You know, and it felt like my body went numb. And honestly, when I think about it now, I'm just looking. I'm like, I honestly felt like I was going to go trip this dude. That's what I felt like. That's what I felt in my body. And I'm stopping myself. But I didn't realize how close I was, you know, to the boundary line.
So he was going to come off the sidelines and trip.
Well, what's interesting, I had to go back and look at this because I was looking up what this was referring to. He actually kind of impeded his own teammate, Larry Fitzgerald. And I looked, and he has kind of lost track of where he was, Antrell Roll, and was almost on the field. And Larry Fitzgerald had to slow down to get around
really?
Him. So they think that Larry Fitzgerald maybe catches Harrison. So the fact that Antrell Roll just kind of stumbled almost onto the field in a daze, he might have come pretty close to actually tripping up James Harrison.
Yeah, because Fitzgerald, I remember in that game, had a bad hamstring going into the game and somehow got really close to making the game-saving tackle or the touchdown-saving tackle, which ultimately would have been the game-saving tackle. And now you see the guy who was thinking about going out there to trip him got in the way of his own man.
I guess you can admit that many years later. Can't admit that after the fact, but, you know, 10-plus years later, you can do that.
Yeah, I still hate that it happened. Still bothers me. All right. Good stuff there. This happy hour is brought to you by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Coming up in the next hour, we've got Mean Text, so you still have time to unveil your venom. 710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. But coming up next, Dave Sims, voice of your Seattle Mariners, will join us next as we continue live from T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob with Mike Lefko in for Wyman on 710 ESPN Seattle.